We're back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula. Bill Russell is here with me, and we are both with Leonard Schlein, who is a surgeon kind of doctor, as well as a wide-ranging thinker. As I read the Alphabet versus the Goddess, it was real clear that 10,000 years ago when agriculture started, something big happened. 3,500 years ago when we got alphabetic technology, right, something big happened. We are now at a time that you're talking about these images. Mm-hmm. How could it not affect culture, he says to me rhetorically. Are we not in a time when another big something is happening by virtue of quite different stimulus?
I want to clean up one little piece that's nagging at me. I think what I'm hearing you say with respect to this the Bible versus the photo album, mm-hmm. that is it seems to me a very simple test for people's fundamental values. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, it's sort of a snapshot test of fundamental values. And values, of course, are the predicates of the culture. So what you're describing in that, to the extent that in a generation we went from the most, you know, the representation of the value, at least in the home, went from the Bible to a photograph, is a radical cultural shift.
Within 10 years of the introduction of movies at the turn of the century, film attendance surpassed church attendance. Think of that.
Another cultural indicator.
I mean, pretty amazing, okay? And, you know, Western culture has been primarily about books. I mean, long, imageless tomes written by esteemed white males, Plato, Aquinas, Augustine, Marx, Hegel, Freud. These are the books that moved Western culture.
And you're not saying that's bad. I'm just saying
that's what Western culture was all about. I submit that since the invention of television in the 50s, there has not been a single book written by anybody that begins to have the impact and the ability to change culture as images. The image of the atomic bomb in 1945, the image of the Earth being back from space in 68, Vietnam, Waco, Kosovo, are all about images. It doesn't matter the books that were written or the editorials that were written, people's opinions were moved by these images. And as a result, when something happens in the world today, people rush to their television sets to see what's happening. And this image information has now made our culture awash in images. If you're looking for the men's room, it doesn't say MEN anymore. It's a little logo of a little man. We're in the midst of an iconic revolution. Mm-hmm. If you listen to what your friends are talking about the next time you get together with them, it's a movie they've seen, something they saw on television, a sporting event, something on the news. Image information is very powerful. And what's happened in this 50 years since television? Women's rights have made an astonishing comeback. 40% of the Washington state legislature today are women. The entire Minnesota Supreme Court are women. The leader of the last space shot was a woman. Unthinkable 100 years ago.
And again, you're saying that the way we think and the way our brains function has a direct societal
Absolutely.
Impact.
Absolutely. How could it not? I mean, you have men embracing ecological and environmental concerns today. You know, men's attitude towards nature for the last 3 million years is nature is something that you have to conquer and subdue. It's not something to honor and protect. And now you have men that are chaining themselves to trees saying, you can't cut this tree down because it's too beautiful. Can you imagine a Greek or a Roman chaining himself to a tree? It wouldn't happen. So men are better fathers to their children today than they were 100 years ago. They're better husbands to their wives than they were 100 years ago. And you're witnessing this tremendous shift of the power of the genders, where women are regaining powers. They're priestesses again. They're rabbis and ministers. They perform sacraments. The United States Army recognizes Wicca, which worships nature and the goddess, as an official religion in the United States Army. So if a soldier wants to get off on May Day for dancing around the Maypole, that's part of his religion. They say, hey, listen, sure, why not? So you're having a major change, and women are reclaiming a lot of power that they didn't have before. Now, that's not happening all.
But you also say that is pretty fragile.
Well, I don't say it's so fragile as much as that. I mean, it's here to stay, but it's not happening everywhere at once because, as Shakespeare pointed out, time is out of joint. And we live in a time where we have a whole bunch of people that are ready to join the 21st century, and a whole bunch of people that are just starting their witch hunts in the 15th century. So the Taliban, for instance, who just recently became literate, are recapitulating the witch hunts of the 15th and 16th century.
So should we be afraid of literacy?
No. I want to make it clear that any time a culture depends too much on one form of communication, it unbalances the culture. And we have now had 5 centuries of literacy, and that literacy now, and I want to make a distinction between literature and poetry, which depend on metaphors, and that's a different kind of writing than a scientific article or a legal contract or a religious tract or a philosophical essay. You know, it's a different form of writing, and it's much more left hemispheric. So I think that we're witnessing this revolution, and of course the computer and the internet are also contributing to this. I mean, they're feminizing culture.
I think most people would agree that the defining power, at least in this country, is market power and economic power. How does this shift in the mode of communication, the mode of seeing, the mode of thinking affect those, you know, what seem to be the dominant powers in the community?
Well, again, I mean, you know, nothing is an unvarnished good or an unvarnished bad. There's a dark underbelly to everything. I mean, you know, the concentration of media power in the hands of fewer and fewer people is certainly not a good thing. But then as that's happening, along comes the internet, which is like a herd of cats. You can't control it, you know. So, I mean, you know, the for 5,000 years, the only way you could write was to write with one hand. And then along came the typewriter in the late 19th century, and you had to type with two hands. It's like playing a musical instrument. The problem was only women learned how to type. They're all the secretaries. Personal computer gets invented in the 70s, and all the men rush to learn a skill that their grandfathers considered was for sissies, called typing. So what is the effect of millions of men's left hands connected to millions of men's right brains tapping out one half of every written message?
What is the effect?
Well, it feminizes, you know, it reintroduces the voice of the right hemisphere. I mean, what is the effect of an 8-year-old boy logging onto the World Wide Web or the Internet? And the last time I looked, every deity associated in ancient mythology with webs and nets was a goddess. I mean, I was in the airport the other day, and I saw this guy with 2 beepers on his belt, a cell phone in his ear, and he was checking his email. And I thought, you know, the United States of America has, its mythos is of the rugged individual, the pioneer family that went out to the wilds of Kansas, set up a homestead. They didn't talk to another person for a whole year. Davy Crockett, Wild Bill Hickok, our first flag said, "Don't tread on me." Okay, so now, if you were to say, what is the one word that best epitomizes this whole computer internet revolution, it would have to be connectivity. Yeah. Staying in relationship. Well, staying in relationship is not a guy thing. That's a woman thing, okay? So when the man is staying in relationship with his boss and his customers and his family, and this interconnectedness is a feminine influence. So in all the developed nations of the world right now, the ones that were literate and then acquired all this image information, you have front and center on their agendas healthcare, childcare, welfare, civil rights, the care of the environment, all of which are women's issues. They're not men's issues. There have been no world wars since television. There have been no genocides in the developed nations of the world except for this craziness on the edge of the Balkans last year. And in the first 50 years of the century, without television, we had 2 world wars and a number of genocides in those same culturally sophisticated countries that killed 70 million people, many of them in the most brutal and barbaric fashion possible. So when people start bashing television and saying it's the worst thing that ever happened, I think to myself, if you had to choose between the first 50 years or the second 50 years, choose the second 50 years.
This also goes to where we started. You talked earlier about the formation of the brain, how the brain, if you use parts of the brain, it tends to reinforce the activities of that part of the brain. If you don't use it, then it tends to atrophy.
That's exactly right.
And what I'm hearing you say is, with respect to using your left hand to type, the right brain is literally being exercised. It is being enhanced. That processing images has the same effect.
Absolutely.
And that, whether we want to or not, we are exercising the right hemisphere in ways that we had neglected or had failed to for the last 45.
Or had chosen not to.
I mean, just imagine if you lived in a monastery, okay? You weren't allowed to talk. You had to avert your gaze when you talked to somebody. You couldn't even look at their face. You know, it was a visually spare environment. You had to read, and that's what you could do. You could read and pray and read and pray and read and pray. And
in silence.
And if you wanted to learn how to read and write, you had to give up sex. What an odd tuition. I mean, if there's any better relationship between the anti-femininity of the alphabet is the process that went on in monasteries that said, you want to learn how to read and write because we are the only place in this place that has books. We'll teach you how to read and write, but you got to give up sex.
That does sort of affect the evolution of the culture, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. Definitively the evolution. When you take educated people out of the pool.
I mean, it's genetic engineering at its worst. I mean, you're selecting out the best and the brightest and saying, let your sperm wither. Your eggs are going to dry up because you're not going to have any. Pass these genes on.
This is Dr. Leonard Schlain. He will be back with Bill Russell and me in just a moment for a couple more thoughts, all of which will be equally revolutionary, I'm confident. Please be with us when we return.